Take your Bibles with me this morning and turn to the book of James. We'll continue our study here in James chapter 1 here this morning. On any given day, we have many different ways that we can enjoy God's Word. We can actually pick up the Bible, and I mean like this thing with paper in it, right? It has covers on it. We can actually pick up the Bible, and we can read it for ourselves. We also have the option of taking that cell phone out of our pocket and turning to some Bible app, and we can enjoy reading God's Word on the phone. And if we don't want to read it for ourselves, you can click a button and somebody will read it to you, right? We have ways that we can enjoy God's Word. We can go online and we can listen to all kinds of sermons and podcasts and all kinds of things. There's no shortage of ways to hear the Bible. Hearing God's Word is not a problem for us. We don't have a hearing problem, but maybe, as we look at James, maybe we might have a memory and an application problem. See, there was a man who was working in his backyard one day, and he's visiting with his neighbor, and he's talking over the fence, and he's sharing with his neighbor about this conference that him and his wife went to, this seminar that they went to that taught them ways to improve their memory. And he's sharing this with his neighbor. His neighbor says, "That is fantastic. What was the name of the speaker who shared that seminar with you?" And he says, what's that flower that's really pretty and smells good that has thorns?" His neighbor says, "A rose?" He says, "Yeah, that's it. Hey, Rose, what was the name of that speaker that we went and talked to the other day?" Remembering and applying God's Word to our lives is something that is important to us. Do we hear it and receive it? Or do we hear it and walk away and do whatever we want to instead? See, this is important to me. As I was reading this passage, I was thinking about my life growing up. And I watched for years as my father sat in church. My dad was in church most Sundays when I was growing up. My dad was a leader in the church. My dad was a completely different person on Monday through Saturday. My dad heard the Word every single Sunday. And it wasn't until not long before he passed away that he truly in his life make a commitment to following Jesus. And that had an impact on my life growing up. This is important. This is important to ourselves. This is important in our walk with God. This is important for our church. This is important for our families. Mothers and fathers, children, we need to not just hear God's Word, we need to abide in God's Word. James, as he shares this, he had just finished, as we read a couple weeks ago, talking about trials and temptations in life. And then he comes to a section about responding to God's Word. And so let's read together in James chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. It says, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world." So we picked up this passage in verse 19, and it immediately follows verses 17 and 18 that we studied a couple weeks ago, where we see the goodness of God, and we talked about the goodness of God. We serve a God who is good, and if you have a relationship with Him, He has made you His child, and He has given you the blessings of salvation. We serve a God who tremendously loves us. We serve a God who has accepted us into His family, and He has poured out His favor on us. We serve a God who has given us the Holy Spirit, God Himself coming and living inside of us. We have heaven and eternal life in our future. and we have a life of peace and hope and joy today. This is the God that we serve. And James says, and as we picked up in verse 19, he says that you know this. And I hope this morning that you know this, that you know about this God who loves you. And James says that since we know this truth, since you know this to be truth, there should be some things in your life. And he says that you should be quick to hear. We should go out of our way to hear. And so what is it that James says that we should hear? I've heard this passage applied in different ways, and if this refers to how we respond to other people, there is some application in that. It's a good concept, right? If we would listen more and speak less and be slower to anger, wouldn't things be so much better? We could eliminate most of the conflict that we have in churches if we would just practice these things. If we would choose to open our eyes and close our mouths and choose not to let things bring us to a point of anger, relationships would be so much stronger. If this refers to how we listen to people, then there's some activity involved in our hearing. And as we hear someone, as we relate to someone, not just listening to respond. However, as you read this passage, verse 22 comes right after what we talk about, being quick to hear and slow to speak. And James makes a statement, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. And so we see here that James isn't necessarily referring to how we listen to people, but how we respond and listen to God's word. And if this refers to God's word, then there are some serious implications as we study the word of God. We need to be quick to hear. We need to spend time actually knowing what God's word says. We need to be quick to hear. And we often hear things about God's word that just aren't true. And I was thinking about this as James talks about trials and the trials of life that we go through. And I have been given some great advice and have heard some great advice from people as you go through difficult things. They say, well, you know, the Bible says that God helps those who help themselves. My friends, that's not in the Bible anywhere. And I've heard people give these great advice that says, look, I know that life is crazy and life is so busy, but you know what the Bible says? There's no rest for the weary. Okay, that's not in there either, right? And there are times when people are quick to just say things and attribute it to God's word that just aren't true. See, earlier in this chapter, James spoke about God giving wisdom to those that ask. And sometimes maybe we just need to close our mouths and not spout off all the things that we think that we know and spend time listening to God. There's a time to be quiet. There's a time to listen. And there's a time to learn. We don't always have to have all of the answers. And we don't always have to share with everybody who's around all the things that we think that we know. I like what the Life Application Bible says. It says, when we talk too much and listen too little, we communicate to others that we think our ideas are more important than theirs. Sometimes, I wonder if we do this to God. Instead of listening to what God's word actually says, we like to share our ideas like somehow they're superior to God's word. There are some real implications for us. We have to be careful that we don't treat others or the word of God that way. And so verse 20 and 21, as he shares, are these kind of tough. James isn't implying to his readers that you can listen to God's word and you can work your way, that somehow you can receive this perfection by the things that you do. But he is saying this. He's saying that if we want to be prepared to hear the truth of God's word, that we need to and be ready to listen to God's word, then there are some hindrances in our lives. There are some things that we need to recognize as hindrances and remove them from our lives. Lay aside, it says, all anger and wrath. Lay these aside, and we come to God's word with a calm mind and a calm spirit. He's saying if you truly want to hear from God, then we can't be angry when things don't go our way. We can't come to God's word angry. We can't come to God's word when we don't like what's happening in life around us and when God's not giving us the answers we want, and come to God mad and say, God, give me what I need, give me what I want, give me what I expect, but come to God calmly seeking his word. You see, the God who is good, the God who saves us, the God who loves us, He wants what's best for us, and he wants his word implanted on our hearts. He wants us to know and understand the truth and to live in the freedom of that truth. See, there are too many lies that speak into our lives, and we need to open our hearts to truth and allow God to speak that truth into us. Let's look at verses 22 through 25, where it says, "But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." And so James gives us his analogy to drive his point here. He says, if we truly believe in God, we truly believe what God's word says, then it changes our behavior. He says, prove yourselves to be doers of the Lord, of the word. It's okay this morning to take some time to do some evaluation. Are we hearers of the word? Merely hearers, or are we doers of the word? Are we hearing the right thing? Are we hearing the right things for the right reasons? See, we can fall into a couple dangerous extremes as we look at God's word. So we can look at God's word and we can say, you know what? I'm just okay. And it doesn't really matter what God's word says. I don't have to change anything. I'm okay, and so I'm going to go do whatever I want to, and I'm okay. See, the other danger that we have is we can look at God's word and then we can beat ourselves up because we're not living to these standards that we think that we should live to. And we look at God's word and we say, well, I'm not good enough. I can't do that. I can't be perfect. And the truth is that you can't be, right? We're not going to be. We'll never will be. And so sometimes we read God's word and we try to put us some standard that we should live to that we can't possibly reach. And so we have these extremes that we have. Several years ago, I was at a youth conference, and the speaker of this youth conference, he was kind of a jerk. And he was mean and he was angry, and the kids weren't good enough. They were all sinful, rotten little teenagers, which, you know, maybe, I don't know. But they felt horrible. The students left that conference feeling defeated, and I had this young lady who was pretty new to our youth ministry at the time, a friend of one of my daughters, and she says, "I don't understand what he was so mad about. Why was he so angry?" See, there's proper perspective, and I hope as we look at the proper perspective that I don't ever come across as a pastor who preaches angry and makes people think that they're not good enough for God. There's a proper perspective. We need to be challenged by God's word. We need to seek to grow in our relationship with the Lord, but we also need to understand who we are. And so let's look at this challenge. Let's look in the mirror, and let's be honest about who we are. I don't think it's any accident that when James wrote this, he said it's like a man who looked in a mirror. See, because men and women respond differently when they look in a mirror. Most women will look in a mirror and they will see every fault, real or imagined. They'll overlook mostly what is good and only see the things that are bad. And if they see a flaw, real or perceived, they try to fix it. I have daughters, and I see my daughters in a mirror fixing one piece of hair that was out of place. I'm like, all my hair is out of place most of the time, right? But they see every single flaw. Most men look in a mirror and say, that looks good. I like that. They can have mud on their face and broccoli in their teeth, and they don't see anything at fault. They say, yeah, that's good. Right? See, God's word is like a mirror. It should reflect what is real, what is really there. We should be challenged by his word and respond to it. It says the ineffectual hearer, and James issues some challenges here. And this is like a person who sits in church and goes to Bible study and listens to God's word and then does nothing. Maybe they play the game. Maybe they act the right way and say the right things. And maybe they sing the right songs and they talk about God. And I shared in the introduction, this is what I grew up with my father. My dad would sit in church and he would sing the songs and he would go to the leadership meetings and he would do these things and he would do that. And then he'd turn away. And it says in reality, God's word had no impact on their life. And there was no evidence that my dad was a believer on Monday through Thursday, not in the way he treated people, not in the way he treated his family. And I watch this growing up, and it's a real thing that in our lives, we've all seen it. A person spends time in church, and they spend time in Bible study, and they praise God, and they turn around, and they're different. They turn around, and they go into the world, and they're gossips, and they're mean, and they're angry, and they treat people poorly, and they live however they want to. And here, James says, that person is just deceiving themselves. And I also shared about my dad that there came a point in his life, not long before he passed away, that he realized he spent his life deceiving himself. And thankfully, he made his life right with the Lord and with some of his family before he passed away. But he said almost those exact words, I spent my life living a lie. The doer of the word constantly comes back to God's word, and they're changed because of it. They have a proper perspective of who they are and a proper perspective of who God is. They don't hear God's word and say, you know, I see it. I just don't care. I'm going to do whatever I want to. But they put it into practice in their life. They examine their life according to what God says. The true believer looks intently in the mirror. And they examine their life. And they look at who they really are. And live differently because of that. In verse 25, James uses this phrase here, the law of liberty. And so we look at God's word and we see God's law. Sometimes people think of God's law as this really strict thing that if you don't do it exactly right, then you're kind of messed up. But it's this law of liberty. There's liberty in law. You know, there are some places in our world where people drive on the left-hand side of the street. And they drive that way, right? And I guess it's okay. It's a little weird, but I guess it's okay. But here in America, we drive on the right-hand side of the street. Now, we can say that I really don't care much about the law because I have liberty and I can do whatever I want to. And you can choose to drive on the left-hand side of the street if you want to. You just will not like the outcome if you choose to do that. If you're driving on the wrong side of the street at the wrong time, that is not good for you. There's consequences to it. God's law is a law of freedom. And James calls it a law of liberty. And this brings us again back to that second extreme again. See, although we strive to live for God, we can't beat ourselves up when we fail. God's design is that we should live our lives. What he designs for us, it is good. It's good. Driving on the right side of the road is good, and it brings freedom if you're driving on the right side of the road. There is freedom in doing the things that are right. There is freedom in living for him. But if you drive on the right-hand side of the road, it doesn't mean that you're never going to have an accident. I won't tell you how I know that. But my truck did just get out of the shop here not very long ago. Right? Just because you try to do what is right doesn't mean that everything is going to go exactly the way that you want it to go. It doesn't mean that life is going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that you're going to follow God perfectly. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have sin in your life. All right? We can't keep God's law perfectly, and it's okay. It's not okay to not care. We need to strive for holiness. We need to strive to please God. We need to strive to be who God wants us to be, knowing that at some point we're going to fall short. And at some point we are going to fail. And our God is a God of forgiveness and a God of grace and a God of mercy. See, there is no freedom when we consume ourselves with trying to be good enough for God when we can't possibly be. Jesus said that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. When we read God's word, when we follow God's word, there should be some freedom in this. And so know some truths that are important in your life. Know that you are forgiven. Know that as you read God's word that you are forgiven, that Jesus paid a price for your sin on a cross, and that we are no longer held to that sin. Know the truth that you are forgiven. Know that you are loved, that God loves you. And some people here this morning maybe just need to hear that God loves you. Know that you have worth. You were created in the image of God. You were woven together in your mother's womb. You have worth. Know that. You have purpose. And as a believer in Christ, you are alive in him. And we need to experience His love and His joy and the hope that is found in Him. And these are the things that spur us to go do what God would have us to do. These truths are truths that we take in our lives and we abide in them and we know them. And it spurs us to go and to live for Him, applying His word. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion, the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. As we look at this knowledge, as we look at abiding in His word, there has to be some application. And James here says that if you are religious, then you should speak truth. If you love Jesus, then the words that come out of your mouth ought to be words of love. That we should lift people up and not tear people down. James is bold, and he says, if you can't control your tongue, if you can't control the things that you say, then your display of religious activity is worthless. You're deceiving yourself. There's this challenge here again. You look, the challenge of abiding in His word. Real religious activity is where conduct and character are lived by God's word. We care for each other. And this passage says that you visit orphans and widows. James is saying that if we abide in Christ and abide in God's word, then our lives will be about others and not ourselves. You see, it's so easy for us to see the things that are going on in the world and get mad. It's so easy for us to see the things in our world and say we need to change laws, and if the laws were different, things would be okay. It's easy for us to be irate over the sin that we see, but what James says here, he says if this bothers you, if you really love God's word, then go do something. Don't wait for the government to fix it for you. Go love people. Go visit the orphans. Take care of the widows. Be involved in real ministry. Friends, we have to be involved in ministry. We can't sit in our churches and expect the government to somehow become Christian and change our world. God has called us. He has called us to be His hands and His feet. And so today, when we look into the mirror of God's word, what do we see? What do we see? What do we see that needs to be corrected in our life? And what do we see as we're looking at God's word that we need to say, you know, that is good, and I want to keep doing that. See, there are some people here this morning that look in a mirror this morning, and you see someone who needs to experience salvation. Maybe you've heard the words every week, and you've never confessed your sins and accepted Christ as your Savior. And again, I think of my dad who sat in church most of his life and never accepted Christ as a Savior. Maybe you're here this morning, and you need to look into the mirror of God's word, and you need to turn your life over to Him. Maybe you're here this morning, and as you look into God's word, you see someone who you need to see this, that you are someone who is forgiven and someone that has worth. Maybe you're here this morning, as you look at God's word, you need to rest in the fact that God loves you. And maybe this morning, as you look in the truth of God's word, you realize that it's time for you to quit trying to be good enough to please God and just rest in Him. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you are here this morning, and as you see this and you look in the mirror of God's word, you realize you need to guard your tongue. The words that come out of your mouth, the words of gossip and backbiting, the words that come in your mouth, maybe they're full of anger, and you are hurting yourself, you are hurting your church, you are hurting your friends, and you're hurting your family. And maybe this morning you need to say, okay, as I look into God's word, this is who I am, and I want to turn away from that. I don't want that anymore. As you look into the mirror, be honest, and seek forgiveness of God, and seek forgiveness of those that you hurt, and turn away from the sin in your life. Maybe you're here today, as you look in the mirror, you realize you need to quit talking the Christian game and you need to do something. Instead of just talking about the needs around you, maybe it's time for you to step forward and be involved in some ministry. Let's be people who live out God's word in our life. Maybe today you just need some encouragement to keep going. Maybe you're here this morning and you're serving and you're doing, and it seems like no matter how much you do, it's never enough. And you wonder if you're making any difference. And maybe you need to look into God's word, the mirror of God's word, and see the truth. To see the truth. See, we are called to be faithful. We are called to be obedient. It is God who's in charge of the results. And sometimes we get so frustrated that we don't see the results, and maybe we just need some encouragement. As we see things happening in our world, we just see God's word and say, you know, man, God is in control no matter what, and we can trust in him. See, let's be people who are known for being just as God is just. Let's be people who are known for being merciful as God is merciful. And let's be people who are known as for being good as our God is good. As we look into God's word, we need to respond to God's word. We need to be honest about what we see and respond. As we look into our lives, we need to be honest about what we see and respond to it.